My name is Randy Baker. I'm with Baker Farms. We're in Cold Spring, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
In recent reports, we've been talking about research concerning the cattle disease commonly known as TRIC. I'm James Hunt, and today we round out the series on TRIC by talking about prevention.
NOAA has pressed pause on its plan to retire drought sensors across Texas. I'm Jessica Dolmel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
As spring arrives, we'll have the latest livestock, forage, and pasture conditions for Texas. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have those details on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Planters continue to roll across Texas with South and Central Texas crops up and growing, while West Texas and the Panhandle prepare to plant. Kevin Meeks is an agronomist and product specialist for Helena Agri Enterprises here in Texas. I asked for his advice for those farmers preparing to plant.
I would say start with a good soil test. See what nutrients are out there on your farm after the last 2 years. So I always start with a good sound fertility program, which can be tricky, right? Because of the price of fertilizer. It's not as high as it has been, but it's still a big piece of our budget. We look at weed control and the news around the dicamba stuff. I mean, I'm always a big proponent of a good pre-emerge program, a good burn down program if you can, followed by a pre, followed by a good post, using the right adjuvant.
And Meeks recommends checking your water quality, which could affect some herbicides.
The water quality that we're using, I've seen water quality go down or decrease in quality, so that could affect some of our herbicides. So we need to be possibly looking at testing our water for, you know, pH, carbonates, salt, hardness, that sort of stuff, especially after the 2 years of drought.
That's Kevin Meeks with Helena Agri Enterprises. The U.S. House Ag Committee wants to know more about the potential threat China poses to U.S. agriculture.
The committee announced it will host an oversight hearing Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. on the issue. The hearing is expected to include testimony from South Dakota's governor, who has set limitations on foreign ownership of agricultural lands. Fox reports the hearing will focus on various ways Chinese entities seek to influence the agricultural industry. House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson reportedly told Fox they'll look at every available legislative vehicle, including the Farm Bill, to stop China in its tracks and strengthen our food and national security. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Dolmel.
Weeks after the smoke has cleared from the wildfires in the Texas Panhandle, the Texas A&M Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Laboratory is alerting livestock owners to watch their surviving livestock for respiratory issues. Veterinarian Alexis Thompson in Canyon says the diagnostic lab expects to see an uptick in samples from livestock that were near the flames or smoke from the wildfires. Thompson says smoke has a high concentration of fine particulate matter, which can lead to respiratory irritation in animals as well as humans. One way to fight trichomoniasis in cattle is to prevent it. James Hunt looks at ways to protect your cattle from TRIC.
In recent programs, we've been hearing from Jennifer Kojal of the Texas Tech School of Veterinary Medicine as she describes her ongoing research into finding ways to better diagnose the presence of Trichomonas fetus in an animal. Trichomonas fetus is the protozoan that causes the cattle disease known as trichomoniasis, which is more commonly referred to as trich. It's a serious disease that can cause significant losses for ranchers. In future reports, we'll bring you updates on the progress of Dr. Kojal's research, but to round out this series, I asked her to share some thoughts on preventing trich from infecting an animal in the first place.
So unfortunately, our prevention is not great in the fact that we cannot give a vaccine for it. There is a vaccine for trich on the market, but it simply helps in the control of the disease. So it will not prevent every cow from losing a calf, but it may prevent some. That is how it's labeled. And so we don't have great prevention other than increasing biosecurity. So making sure that we have good fences between neighbors, really managing our calving seasons, managing our breeding seasons so that we can recognize when there is a problem sooner and hopefully address it sooner. And so with prevention side, we really thinking about testing our bulls before every breeding season, if there is an opportunity. So doing a what we call a trich test before every breeding season, along with our BSC, to make sure those bulls are negative before they go in with our cows. That's the best prevention that we have.
Once again, that was Dr. Jennifer Kojal of Texas Tech. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has pressed pause on its plan to retire drought sensors across Texas. Jessica Domel has the story.
Texas farmers and ranchers will continue to be able to utilize early warning drought sensors thanks to action taken by U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Here is Senator Cruz.
Last year, NOAA had planned to retire soil moisture sensors in Texas that farmers and ranchers rely upon to spot potential droughts. And I had real concerns about that I raised directly with NOAA. NOAA claimed that the program was being phased out due to a funding shortfall, despite the fact that the menial cost of the network is about $900,000 per year to maintain, which is a tiny fraction of NOAA's overall budget. For example, I've taken real issue with NOAA's budget priorities, including spending $9.1 million on woke grants focused on, quote, environmental justice and equity. They had lots of money to focus on political priorities, and yet they were shortchanging Texas farmers and ranchers. And so I leaned in, and I'm the ranking member on the Senate Committee of Commerce, Science, and Transportation, and so we have direct jurisdiction over NOAA, and was very pleased to secure a major victory for Texas farmers and ranchers. They committed to keep the sensors in place so that Texas farmers and ranchers can have early warning signs of potential droughts.
As Cruz mentioned, NOAA has agreed to keep the sensors in place for now, but has not agreed to keep them in place permanently.
We are continuing to monitor it closely, and we're going to continue to press for them to keep them in place. The entire purpose of those sensors is to let farmers and ranchers have an early warning signal. And so from my perspective, I want to see them maintained permanently in place.
That was U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Most of Texas is enjoying a more normal springtime season this year. Tom Nicoletti says that's good news for pastures and livestock.
My guest today is Tracy Tomasik. He is Texas Farm Bureau Livestock Specialist. And Tracy, spring of 2024 is here. What's it looking like for livestock conditions across the state at this point?
This appears to be the beginning of a more normalized spring season. We've got wet weather conditions across a large part of the state. The drought monitor indicates that as well, with only a few spots of exceptional or extreme dryness in Texas, particularly in the hill country and far out west.
What have you heard about pasture green up at this point?
Pastures look really good at this point in the year. That extra rain and relatively mild conditions through the latter part of the winter really helped for those winter annual grasses to come on and then really grow once we hit a little bit more mild or warmer temperatures, as February and March proved to be very good for grazing.
The Texas wildfires in the Texas Panhandle have created havoc for a lot of cattle producers, but how do you see that impacting the cattle market, if at all?
Yeah, those extreme and unfortunate events over the last couple of weeks left over 1 million acres burned, and the wet weather that's come in after that, it didn't take a lot of moisture, but it's really helped kick things into high gear in regards to forage recovery on those pastures. Unfortunate thing is there was a lot of ground lost, but it's going to rejuvenate. The little more moisture here in the springtime will help that stuff recover and really aid in spring green up there in the Panhandle. So thoughts are with them, and we hope for the best in regards to moisture to help heal up that scorched landscape.
That is Tracy Tomasik. He is a Texas Farm Bureau livestock specialist. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Spring seems to have arrived a little early here in Texas, and decision time for spring crops has arrived also, and crop prices make a decision a little more difficult this year. Hello, I'm Barry Mahler, and I have the story from the Rolling Plains.
And lots of horses are shod on the forefeet and not on the hind feet. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Keeping Texas farmers and ranchers informed for over two decades. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Spring conditions are greening up the Texas rolling plains. Barry Mahler has an update from the Wichita Falls area.
We've been enjoying some spring-like weather here, and the warmer temperatures are bringing a green up, at least in the areas that have been blessed with rain. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of time to sit back and enjoy, because there are decisions to be made as the spring crop season arrives. Now, this is winter wheat country, and the majority of the acres are already committed to wheat for harvest or for forage, and the crop looks pretty good, especially where large fertilizer inputs are present. Several fields that I look at on a regular basis have been rotated with corn, and there's something about that rotation that's showing a lot of promise here on the Rolling Plains. We've known a long time in agriculture that rotation is important, as, well, this one seems to be working well for us, and there's a reason. I suppose it's a combination of good weed control that the alternating seasons bring, and of course, added residue and some carryover nutrients from crop to crop, they help also. Now, that leads us to the decisions I referred to earlier. Of course, corn, grain sorghum, cotton, and soybeans are spring-planted crops, and cropping decision deadlines are approaching, and although that varies across the state, choices have to be made soon. One of those has to be selecting federal crop insurance coverage, and the information I've received from my agent shows a major reduction in price coverage for corn, grain sorghum, and soybeans from a year ago, but only a 1 cent decline in the price of cotton. Will that affect decisions? Well, it has to be a consideration. Now, looking at the cash grain price here in Texas, we saw corn in the $7.50 a bushel range a year ago. Grain sorghum just under $7 and wheat at $8.25 a bushel. Today, corn is at $4.21, grain sorghum $4.31, and wheat is down to $5.43, and all those markets are in a downward trend. Cotton is lower also, but not as severe yet as the grains. Now, that's what the price available if the weather cooperates is and you raise a good crop. But if not, the insurance rates show the same trend. Corn at $4.66, grain sorghum $4.67, but cotton still at 83 cents a pound. Now, do these cash prices and insurance prices affect cropping decisions? Well, I can only speak for myself, but right now it looks like maybe more acres of cotton in my fields than I anticipated a few months ago.
This is Barry Mahler reporting from North Central Texas for Texas Ag Today.
Lots of horses are shod on the forefeet and not on the hind feet. But Dr. Bob Judd says shoeing the hind feet may be helpful in some cases.
Dr. Sarah Reed from the University of Connecticut indicated in the horse publication that research has shown previously barefoot sport horses appear to move more symmetrically and have an increased hock angles when working in well-fitted steel shoes, specifically on the hind feet. Hind limb shoes, whether flat or grooved, improve lameness scores and might even make horses move more freely in the hind limbs. The study was performed on 14 sound barefoot horses that had just completed 6 weeks of reconditioning exercises, and the researchers ran gait analysis to measure angles and range of motion while the horses trotted. The horses' feet were then trimmed, and shoes were placed on all four limbs, with half of them fitted with plain stamp shoes on the hind feet, and the other half were shod with traditional fullered shoes. 6 weeks later, the horses were again trimmed and reshod, and at the end of 12 weeks, the gait analysis was again performed. The scientists found no significant differences between the groups, but did note a marked difference in hock angles and lameness scores when they were shod versus barefoot. Shoeing increased the maximum angle both hocks achieved by 4 degrees, regardless of shoe type, during movement and when standing. Lameness scores were 44% less when the horses were shod versus barefoot. Farrier textbooks indicate shoes might reduce horses' traction, and although this might sound concerning, a small slip could be beneficial as it decreases concussion on the joints above. It is also possible the shoe could add purchase and provide better takeoff, and overall, the studies generally indicate the findings suggest that hind limb shoes may be helpful in performance horses. I'm Dr. Bob Judd, and this is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our market trade wrapped up on Tuesday. Cattle futures traded both sides of unchanged. On the close, however, we finished in the red on both live and feeder cattle. April live cattle down 52 cents, 188.05. June down 40, 185 even, with August live cattle down 32, 184.02. Feeder cattle lower. The nearby March down 52 cents, 250.67. April down 2 at 255.07. May feeder cattle down 20 at 258.92. Cash fed cattle sales still quiet for the week. We do see some early asking prices from feedlots here in the Southern Plains. Looks like they're asking 188 and better so far this week. Boxed beef prices mixed. Choice up $1.56, $3.14.89. Select down 6 cents, $3.02.99. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Kenny Mingus, my guest from Milam County Livestock Auction Cameron, sold them last Friday. Kenny, how did that sale go, son?
We had 1,165. We had 273 cows, 81 buyers.
Walk the pens with me, Kenny.
With the steers under 300, 250 to 405, 300 to 400 pound steers, $1.65 to $4. 400 to 500 pound steers, 143 to 375, and over 500, $1.30 to 330. On the heifers under 300, 240 to 365, 400 to 500 pound heifers, 151 to 335. That was 300 to 400 pound heifers, 400 to 500 pound heifers, 129 to 316, and over 500, 115 to 288. Packer cows from 90 to $1.44. Packer bulls from $1 to $1.58. On your bred cows, $400 to $2,300. And on your pairs, $1,300 to $2,850.
Man, that was a good sale. What was the count?
$1,165.
And I understand you had some moisture, too.
We did. Anywhere, kind of at the house there, inch and a half to to 2 inches. I think a few places got a little more. I think a few places might have got a little bit less. That's kind of what we needed to get this corn going. We were needing the rain. We've had some bad windy days down here, and you know, it was time to freshen it up for sure.
That black ground dries out fast with a 15 or 20 mile an hour wind, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. We've got a big set of cows coming, 2 sets of cows coming this week.
That's right.
You bet. They're on our Facebook page. Just don't see these pairs like this every day. So if you need some good females, come be with us Friday. We're excited about them and appreciate the opportunity to sell them for these consigners.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Kenny Mingus.
Catch us at the office, 254-697-6697. Follow us on our webpage at MilamCountyLivestockAuction.com or catch us on Facebook.
Kenny, we appreciate you. Thank you, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Thank you, Larry.
And neighbor, thank you for listening to me, Larry Marble, and Kenny Mingus on Walking the Pens, Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. We do it every Monday through Friday. Good day.
Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished lower. April hogs were down $1.85.82, with May hogs down $1.47.91.95. Class 3 milk was higher. March milk up a penny, $16.45 a hundredweight, with April milk up 14, $16.30 a hundred. Cotton futures finished mixed. Old crop was lower, new crop higher. Speculators have been pushing those old crop contracts higher, and it looks like they're getting out of some of those net long positions that pressured the old crop contracts, with May cotton down 123 points, 93.34, July cotton down 114 at 93.12, while new crop December cotton was up 19 at 84 cents even. Corn market finished higher. Traders continue to watch that South American crop. Brazil Safrina corn is almost planted, and they're expecting beneficial rains later this week for central Brazil. May corn up 3.5, 439.5. July corn up 3.5, 452.25, with September corn up 3 at 461 a bushel. Wheat finished higher for the second day in a row following that Russian attack on Odessa, Ukraine. We close with May Kansas City wheat up 9, 582.75. New crop July up 8 cents, 575.5. Soft wheat in Chicago. May contract up 9.75, 552.5. July up 9.75 at 567.25. In the energy markets, April natural gas was up 3 cents, $1.74. April West Texas crude oil up 90 cents at $83.62 a barrel. The financial markets higher on Tuesday afternoon. The Dow up 260 points, 39,050. The NASDAQ up 33, 16,136. The S&P up 20, 5,170. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A. Texas Agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.